Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, for heaven and Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Lord, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead us to your holy hill, to your dwelling. Amen. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word yoke can be a noun or a verb. It can be the actual yoke, the object itself, or it can be the act of yoking, the action of harnessing or attaching one thing to another. My first recollection of a yoke is when I read The Little House books by Laura Ingalls Wilder when I was in elementary school. The oxen that Paul Ingalls owned were used to pull the wagon that the family rode in when they went west, and they were also used for pulling other heavy loads. The oxen were yoked in pairs so that it was much easier to pull that heavy load. In preparing for my sermon this morning, I read a blog called Provoking the Gospel and found some really interesting information on yokes. A yoke that is well made is fitted to each individual oxen. It's designed so that the weight of whatever is being pulled is borne by the animal's shoulder rather than its neck. The yoke is fitted to each animal and shaped so that it does not chafe or rub the skin raw. Because an injured ox is not of much use to the owner and really is not able to pull much of a load. Oxen were yoked in pairs, which helps to spread the heavy load over the two animals. When two animals accustomed to each other and wearing a yoke that has been particularly made for them, when they're pulling a heavy load together, that yoke is said to be easy. A well-shaped yoke will let oxen be as strong as they can possibly be. And at the same time, it will protect them from any type of injury that could weaken them. An ill-fitting yoke can rub the skin raw and leave it bleeding. The animal can develop oozing sores where the weight of the work would be borne. As I said, a wounded ox can pull very little or no weight at all. Plus, there is damage done to a living being, part of God's creation. The use of yokes with animals, including oxen, horses, mules, donkeys, and water buffalo has been around for thousands of years. Though not used much in the United States any longer. They are still used in other countries. Animals, however, are not the only thing that can be yoked. Individuals can be yoked in marriage. You may remember St. Paul's admonition to the members of the church in Corinth not to be yoked to unbelievers. Churches also can be yoked. They are yoked in a contract. Yoked churches are multiple point parishes, which means each church is a parish, and that means more than one church yoke themselves, join themselves together in order to call a pastor. This is a common practice in rural areas or where population is low or where churches do not have sufficient funds to call a full-time pastor. When I served in the western part of Pennsylvania, I served a three-point parish. These churches went together about 15 years ago in order to call the pastors that served them because individually they could not afford a full-time pastor. Another website that I got onto when I was preparing my sermon was called My Jewish Learning, and it spoke about the yoke of the Torah. In the ancient world, an ox yoke was a common metaphor for the Torah, which is the first five books of Moses. A convert to Judaism then and now takes on the yoke of the commandments, accepting the divine mandate requiring a distinctive behavior and a commitment to the observance of the Jewish moral laws and ritual practices. Other than being a form of speech, a yoke can also be a symbol of subservience and toiling. Some ancient cultures forced their vanquished foes to pass beneath a symbolic yoke fashioned of swords or spears. And a yoke can also be a metaphor for something that is oppressive or burdensome. The Jews in Jesus' day were living under the yoke of the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, kept by soldiers at the point of a spear or with the nails of crucifixion. The Jews were oppressed and burdened by Imperial Rome. Their yoke was chafing, and they were looking for a savior, a Messiah who would finally come and rescue them, one who would march triumphantly into Rome and break the yoke of their oppressors and just lift it off of their bloodied necks and shoulders. The people did not think that Jesus could be the one for whom they were waiting because he did not fit their description of the long-awaited Messiah. The people wanted their Messiah to be a warrior, strong, courageous, aggressive, and in the face of Rome. Someone who could literally and figuratively break the yoke they bore on their shoulders. Their Messiah would not be someone who would be gentle and humble in heart. He would not be someone who, as we heard in Zechariah this morning, be humble and come riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Riding a donkey meant that a person came in peace. How can a Messiah coming in peace break the yoke of oppression and bondage for any people? Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke and the burden of the Jews in the first century was Imperial Rome. So what about you and what about me today? What is your Imperial Rome? What is mine? To what are you and I yoked? What are our burdens? What has our shoulders weighted down and the skin of our hearts and our souls chafed and bleeding from carrying too much weight? In our society today, don't we often feel like we are carrying the weight of the world, of our nation, on our shoulders? After all, what happens in the nation, what happens in our world, affects us either directly or indirectly. This is a heavy yoke and a heavy burden to bear, sisters and brothers. Not only are we carrying the burdens of physical fear in our daily lives, terrorism, road rage, indiscriminate shootings, we also carry fear of the unknown, fear of what's going to happen with North Korea, with Russia, global warming, health care, minimum wage, people being put out of work because artificial intelligence has been invented that can do things better, faster, easier than a human being and doesn't require a vacation or sick days, or health insurance for that matter. It seems as though fear of what may happen, loathing for our neighbor, and incivility have replaced baseball as our national pastime. It's all we talk about. It's all we see and all we hear in newscasts, in sound bites, in print, and in other media. On top of this, we feel like we are yoked with the issues and problems and burdens of family, of church, of society. Then there is the yoke that we make from our own personal burdens. And we shoulder those. Anger, injustice, the result of poor choices, estrangement from our family, being ostracized for our faith, abuse, either the one being abused or the abuser. There's guilt, there's shame, there's depression, failed marriages that result in divorce, grief, addiction to drugs or pornography, alcoholism, being a workaholic, being in unhealthy relationships, being part of the sandwich generation where you need to take care of your aging parents and your growing children as well. And then there's grandparents who are raising their grandchildren. And the list continues. I believe that there are too many of us trying to carry our burdens all by ourselves. Our society looks up to people who are self-made, who are independent, who don't need anybody to help them, who can pick themselves up by their own bootstraps when necessary. After all, it's the American way. It's the can-do, pioneer spirit. And when we have issues and problems that become a yoke around our shoulders, we still try to do all the heavy pulling by ourselves because we don't want to be perceived as weak. As a result, we wear our yokes even when they begin to chafe and rub the skin of our hearts and our spirits raw. And when we do, we are left with oozing and bleeding, sores, unable to do anymore. We are damaging ourselves. We are damaging our bodies, our minds, and our spirits, and we are damaging God's creation. We are weary from carrying these burdens all the time, and we want someone who will take it all away. That someone, sisters and brothers, is Jesus Christ. In Psalm 145, we hear, "The Lord upholds all those who are falling and raises up all those who are bowed down." Jesus says, "Come to me. All you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This invitation from Jesus calls to mind for me the third verse from a beloved Christmas song, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, where we sing about carrying life's crushing load. And you beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the winding way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. The angels sang of the birth of the Savior, born in Bethlehem, a Savior whose name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And that very same Emmanuel is issuing us an invitation to leave the burdensome yoke that we carry. Leave it by the side of the road. Leave it, and in its place, pick up his yoke, one that is easy, with light burdens, because we are not shouldering them all alone. We are yoked with our Lord and Savior. We need to remember, though, sisters and brothers, that we are not promised a life free of pain and travail if we follow Jesus. But the good news is that we are not alone. Jesus has promised that he would never leave us or forsake us, and that he would be with us to the end of the age, and he is. We know that we do not face life alone. So, sisters and brothers, answer that gentle invitation to come. Come to Jesus and be yoked with our Lord and Savior. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This yoke's for you, this yoke's for me. This is a welcome invitation from our Lord and Savior, sisters and brothers. And when we say yes to him and lay down the yoke that is chafing and making us bleed, we will find a yoke that is easy, a burden that is light, and rest for our souls. And for this we say, thanks be to God. Amen.